We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There is so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we have carved out a space just for you. The creative entrepreneurs making and selling physical goods. We're firm believers that everyone has a story to share, and there is so much we can learn from each other's business journey. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business. Hey friends, I'm your host, Katie Hunt, and welcome to Proof to Product. Fulfillment has been a hot topic in our Proof to Product Labs community lately, and this was really sparked by Christine Heron's recent podcast episode about how she moved her business overseas for a year, and she kept things going using a third-party fulfillment house, or a 3PL. So today, I wanted to bring in a special guest to talk about how fulfillment works from the side of a 3PL or fulfillment house. Today's guest is Alan Beffert of Givingtons. It's a fulfillment company that pays attention to the small details so that you can focus on the bigger picture of your business. Alan jokes that he fell backwards into helping start and build Givingtons in 2013 when one of his best friends was launching it and basically asked if he wanted to come along for the ride. 7 years later, the company prides itself on the relationships they've built with their customers and the genuine personalized experiences that they create with their partners. On today's episode, we are covering a lot of ground. We talk about logistics of working with a 3PL, including how to know if you're ready, technology integrations, questions to ask when interviewing different fulfillment centers, and common pricing models. But we also talk about the importance of trust and relationships when outsourcing your fulfillment. It is a really rich episode that is a great primer for anyone that's considering outsourcing their warehousing and fulfillment. Before we jump into this amazing episode with Ellen, I wanted to let you know what is coming up inside of Proof to Product Labs through the rest of the year. This month, we are tackling holiday sales and marketing strategies, specifically looking at what to prepare for Black Friday and Cyber Monday. In October, we're going to talk about Instagram marketing, including how to leverage stories and reels in your marketing plan. We'll show you how to build strong connections with your customers through Instagram and have fun at the same time. In November, we're going to uncover ways to make our websites more searchable and user-friendly. Our focus will be on customer experience as well as SEO and digital marketing. Then in December, I'm going to walk everyone through how I do my strategy planning for the next year. I want you to start 2021 on the right foot. So I'll show you exactly what I do in my own business to create our sales plan, marketing strategy, and financial projections and goals. For only $79 a month, you get live trainings, group coaching calls, and connections with product-based business owners who are working on scaling their businesses through systems, processes, and strategic decision-making. To learn more and join us, head to proofToProduct.com/labs. Now let's get into today's episode with Alan Beffert of Givingtons. Hey, Alan, thank you so much for joining me today.
Absolutely. Excited to be here. Thanks for having me. Super fun.
I will say we've gotten a ton of questions lately about fulfillment centers and 3PLs and all the different names that they're called. You know, with COVID, people are looking for a way to streamline. They're looking for a way to strategically partner with other companies to make their business more efficient and streamlined. So I'm just really grateful for your time today. And thank you for answering all of the questions that have been coming in from my community.
Absolutely. Super excited.
So to kick this off, can you explain what a third-party logistics company or a fulfillment center does? How do you help small businesses?
Yeah, no, at its basic deal, it just is an outsourced option for all of that storage, picking, packing that has to go into getting an order out to your customer. So, you know, you think about you order your product and you've got pallets and pallets of it. And where are you going to put it? Well, you need a place to store it. But then you go, well, wait a minute. Now I have orders and orders coming in. And I've got to pick all those orders and somebody's got to put them in a bag or put them in a box and seal it up. And then you've got to put a label on it and get it delivered to the post office. I'm sure somebody out there listening is like taking bags of product to the post office in the back of their Toyota Camry only because we did that. And like we've done that. And so all when you give it to a 3PL or you give it to a fulfillment center, they basically take all of that on. They take on, we're going to store your product for you. We're going to pick your orders for you. We're going to box it up. We're going to pack it up. And then we're going to get it to the carrier. You know, postal service, UPS, whoever. And then, you know, from there, the carrier takes it to the customer.
It sounds like a dream come true because I've been at my kitchen table packing orders, you know. And I will say too, I've recently interviewed a couple of our students who started using fulfillment centers, and they said it just alleviated so much stress in their business. It allowed them to focus on revenue generating things or the creative side of their business of, you know, creating new products. So, you know, how did you get into this business in the first place?
Well, and you nailed it. Like what you just said, I think is so important because you have the things that only you can do or the things that you're the best at. And then you have the things that take away from your business, and you have to have fulfillment, but it may not be the thing you want to be an expert at. You want to be an expert at the things you can do. So we fell backwards into it, honestly. We were going to be our own retail shop. So when we started, Givington's was going to be our own retail shop where you shop from us, and there was a donation to a nonprofit. And so that was part of our original design. In that process, we had some nonprofits that we would talk to, and they would go, well, instead of a donation, would you mind running our store for us? Like our back end. And we were like, well, sure. Yeah, we can do that for you. And that's really what caught momentum. We said, well, we can go to other companies, nonprofits, businesses, and we can start to provide that back end for them where they don't have to worry about those types of things. They can just kind of wipe their hands of it and say, okay, great. You guys are going to take care of that portion. And it really what it looks like for a lot of our people is we're their fulfillment department. Instead of them having to get their own warehouse and train their own staff and be experts at a whole thing, it's like, oh, Givington's is our expert at this. And so we have a wonderful, amazing warehouse that does everything we need. And they feel like our partner, just like they're on staff with us, but they do that work for us and they're experts at it. And they're looking for ways to be better at it. You know, all those types of things. So yeah, we kind of fell backwards into it. We didn't mean to start this, but here we are 7 years later. So,
well, I will say some of the best businesses start that way. Even my business now, I had a product-based business. I saw that people needed help with coaching and strategy on the business side. And now here I am, you know, over 9 years later. And it's when we see a need, when we see how we can serve people with our talents and strengths, then, you know, it's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about the types of companies that you work with in particular.
Yeah. So we specifically, our group works, you know, mostly in like content and book space. Now we don't have to, that just happens to be the market we've landed in. Now we've shipped everything from swords, literally like 6 foot long swords. We had a guy, it was like a men's group, and they were like, you know, get these swords and put them above your fireplace. And then we've done a group that was, honestly, they were making soap in Iraq with refugees from Syria. So it was actually a beautiful ministry. Wow. And they would go to these people who needed jobs and say, hey, make this soap. And then they would send the soap to us. We would wrap the soap and then do all that for them from there. So we've shipped, I mean, t-shirts, soap, swords, whatever. But the number one thing we've done is like books and content. It just happens to be the market we've landed in. We don't have to stay there. We don't, you know, it's not our aim to stay there, but that's kind of what's been put in front of us, you know, the steps that have kind of been there.
So, you know, as you're describing, like we're there to like be the department, the fulfillment department for brands. Somebody listening might be thinking, well, I'm not there yet. You know, I don't have enough product, or I'm not shipping enough orders out every week. What are some key indicators that someone might be ready to outsource this piece, the fulfillment part of their business?
That question is so important because we've experienced people that come to us too early, and I look at them and I'm like, you're throwing money away. I mean, it's good for us. And it's, you know, I'm like, sure, you can if you want, but it's not smart yet because you can do it yourself. Yeah. You know, if you're doing 50 orders a week, I'm like, that's 10 a day. You can do that. You can do it in your garage. You can do it at your kitchen table. Like, you know, have your kids help, you know, whatever. Like you can like, get it, you know, call the neighbors over, like, there's a place where it's not cost effective. You know, you are trying to get this thing started. Every dollar matters. You know, push and push and push. The flip, though, is to scale something. When something needs to really start to move, you need to now remove that because that's a hard, you know, this fulfillment stuff is, it's a whole different way to think. It's a whole different thing to understand. So at some point when you're ready to scale and grow, or when you start to see that momentum, that's when that kind of switch has to flip. And so I've had conversations with people that early on are like, we want to be ready to scale from the beginning. So we already want to be with a fulfillment company. And again, I'm going, oh, you don't have to do that. But we understand other people, they wait too long. They're doing it out of their garage and they're doing, you know, whatever, 10,000 orders a month out of their garage and they're dying. They're like, where do I put all this product? How do I get it all done? You know, so we draw a line and say, if you are less than 500 packages a month, Okay, that's like this is for us.
For you guys,
shipping,
yeah.
If you're shipping less than 500 a month, our honest recommendation would be you should do it yourself. Yes, it's going to be hard. Yes, there's a lot to learn, but less than 500 a month, you can do it. We believe in you. Like, go do it. You can like
yeah.
hustle and you can do it. When you get towards 500, that's when you start seeing like, you know, law of diminishing marginal returns. Like you're putting so much effort into your fulfillment that yeah. it's starting to take away from other things. Then you want to be able to scale, or you want to have somebody else take that switch kind of flip where now you can kind of really start to ramp up, because the sky's the limit on what your operations can handle. Now it's yeah. just a matter of what can your product, you know, what can you produce? What can your audience be? How do you drive sales?
Right.
Because you're not worried about the operational side. So
I want to go back to what you just said of when that flip happens and people are just completely overwhelmed with getting orders out the door. I've talked about this a lot in other aspects where we hit a wall. I talk about it a lot actually with hiring yep. specifically yep. of like we run ourselves to the bone, we hit a wall, and we end up kind of not always making the best decisions with our hiring because we're trying to solve the problem, right? Do you experience that? Like these people that flip and like they have way too much going on, are they kind of in panic mode when they come to you, or are they in a thoughtful mindset of how am I going to approach this?
We've had both. I mean, we've had both, and we've had some that are, I mean, just like you, I mean, hair is everywhere. They're crazy. What you're yeah. describing, they are going, we need help right now. And that's usually, honestly, when we get to it, when we see that person, it's almost a good thing because it happened fast.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad, but I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like they looked up and they were like, all of a sudden this thing took off. And right. I'm scrambling. And, you know, again, instead of throwing bodies at it, hey, we're just going to hire and throw another body. We're going to hire and throw another body. There's an efficiency you get when you would switch to a 3PL at that point.
Yep.
Because again, I go back to that expertise idea. You're trying to throw bodies at a problem and you don't really know how to do it. Somebody's trying to learn it. You're trying to figure it out. What software should we use? What labels? Do we have a carrier? Can we do pickups? I mean, I can just run you through the things that I'm like, people don't even know we do. And I'm like, you have to, there's like a big learning curve. So they come in crazy. They're flying around and it's good. Then you have ones where I feel like it's more of the grind. They're at 1,000 orders a month. It's really not that many. And they've just been grinding that out month after month after yeah. month. And they're going, well, we want to throw bodies at it. So I don't work on that. Right. So I mean, I'm sure you mm-hmm. talked about that with yeah. your listeners. Like you need to work on the stuff that just you can do. But in the meantime, I've got all these orders to get out. And so, you know, we've seen both people that come in hair on fire, and usually those are better because they're growing like crazy and they're just like, please help me. The harder ones are that kind of low level grind.
Well, the low level grind too, I think they have a harder time probably getting their head around the cost involved and giving up the control so that somebody else has it. You know, there's a lot of things that as we start our businesses, we're doing all the things, we're wearing all the hats.
Oh.
And to trust somebody else with some of these things and to give up that control can be challenging for many.
Yes. We had, there's an example, one we did last fall, and she's got this amazing planner business and she's been running it out of her garage, and she brought it to us last year and we crushed it, right? It was unbelievable how fast she was like, wow, you guys. And she actually pulled it back in this fall. And I said, hey, did we do something wrong? Like what happened? And she goes, honestly, I wanted that personal touch. Yeah. She wants to be able to write handwritten notes. Mm-hmm. And I like, on one hand, I'm like, I love that. On the other hand, I'm like, that's not a scalable model. Like you can't keep doing that. So she's wrestling. You can hear her kind of wrestle with that. I want to give personal touch. I need to scale and get rid of this. I need to get my hands off of it. I mean, it's exactly what you're describing, like to trust somebody, like it's okay. Like what do you, at the core, you need your product to get in the hands of your customer.
Right.
Yes, you want to do all these extra things, but at its core, you need your product in the hands of your customer. And what's the best way to do that? Early on, I love that personal touch because that's where you're going to develop some customer loyalty. That's where people are going to feel this is so beautiful. That starts to shift as you go to scale would be my 2 cents.
I 100% agree with you. And also too, a baby business, a startup business is very different than a business that is having rapid growth and or in the process of scaling. And there's lots of areas that we need to modify as we're scaling. And this is just one of them.
That's right.
So I guess my next question to you would be, how can someone best prepare to outsource their fulfillment? You know, I know there's a lot to it. Mm-hmm. Some people I've talked to have had to cut back on like their packaging a little bit. Like if they had a lot of, you know, embellishments on their packaging to get their packaging. I don't know. I don't mean to speak for you, but what kind of things can they?
That's great setup. So you've got a couple of different things in that. I think you nailed one of them. The customization is what you're really describing. I want to do handwritten notes. I want to have, and we have a girl right now that she's like, will you put gold foil strips in there? So you can have the customization. It just increases cost. That's where mm-hmm. you're going. I mean, we'll do whatever. We can do custom notes for you. I'll write your notes. You know, for a price, I'll start handwriting right. notes. But you start looking at cost. So customization now becomes not your time as the owner. It becomes your dollars. And so you've got to decide on the customization side. Then you get on the operational side. And that to me, if I was preparing to go, you know, hey, I want to be prepared. It's honestly things like barcodes. And the way your boxes arrive, things along that line that are a little more tied to, you know, we want everything that comes in to have a barcode. So if somebody says, well, I produce this and I don't have a barcode on it, then we're going to be like, hey, we're going to need to charge you to put a barcode on every single item. Now that's a good thing because we're saying it's going to give you accurate inventory and you're going to know exactly what you have in our stock at all times. Like those are all positive things.
Right.
But I'm going to have to come back and some of those operational details. So if I was coaching somebody on preparing, understand your customization. Can you die to some of that? Are you going to want all of that? Do you want your own packaging versus a normal standard box? Like those are all things, but that's probably more cost oriented than it is you can do it or can't do it. Then I think on the operational side, that's where you get into, we want things to be really tight for you. You know, from my seat, we want to give you a really beautiful, tight experience. Everything's clean. You know exactly where your product is. You know exactly. So to do that, you know, you start getting into barcodes, you start getting into understanding the SKUs on your website. You know, if the SKU on your website is, you know, size M, like you can't send me a product that the barcode is size M. I've got, you know, thousands of products that are size M. They have to have a unique barcode. So how do you set up a barcode that's unique to or a unique SKU to your products? There's some little like operational tweaks
that
you probably don't think of when you're first starting your store. You first open up your Shopify, you're like size M shirt. But instead, it's like, okay, let's find a way to label that. Okay, it's our fall line of 2020, you know, whatever. So it's FA20S for small. You know, you start getting into those types of questions, like doing that on the front end so that when you come to somebody with all your products, you're not having to also go back and fix, you know, all this stuff from the beginning. If that is helpful at all.
No, it's super helpful. And I love that you're bringing this up now because SKUs have been an hot topic really in our community too, and the importance of them. A lot of our community sell to both the retail market and the wholesale market. Yep. And, you know, when you're selling direct to consumer and you're just shipping from your home, the SKUs aren't as big of a deal because the consumer is just, you know, purchasing what they want and you know which product it is. When you start to sell wholesale and other people are ordering by those SKUs, it's obviously very important. And so then to hear this added layer of, if you do start outsourcing fulfillment, your 3PL or fulfillment warehouse has to know what these SKUs are. Whether those orders are going direct to a consumer's home or they're going to a shop for a wholesale order.
Well, and to be really like transparent in that, we didn't require that in the past and it was a mess. Our accuracy on orders was a mess, you know, because think about it. Now I'm walking down the hall, I'm walking down our aisle being like, okay, I think it's the blue, what's this ticket say? Okay, it's a blue meat. Is that blue? And, you know, and you just kind of, somebody grabs an order. It you know, you use those barcodes and those SKUs because it forces everything to be exact. So now I scan a barcode and it confirms I have the right product. So it's those types of things. And
it we had to learn that. It reduces that human error. You're right.
Yes, that's exactly right.
So let's talk about pricing because you alluded to it when we talked about the customizations a little bit. Yep. What factors should people be aware of and how does pricing generally work for fulfillment centers?
Yeah, and this, you're going to see things all across the board. So your standard 3PLs are going to probably have a base kind of overhead. This probably includes storage. It includes being, you know, connected to their system. So here's your base. It's a monthly base. Then they're going to start having individual fees for all the different things that they do, that, you know, they do for you. So there's going to be a storage fee for every item, or there's going to be a pick fee. Okay, it's a pick fee for me to go grab it off the shelf. But then there's a pack fee to put it into the box and put some paper in there with it. And then there's going to be a, you know, label fee or a this. And they kind of start to do those. Oh, I want to put a sticker on the outside. Okay, there's a you know, a sticker to, or there's a fee to do that, or, oh, there's, you know, we do assembly projects where people might say, hey, we want to put these three things together into a bundle. Okay, great. Yeah. We can do an assembly fee. So normally what you'll see is like a base rate, and then kind of your other pieces down the way. So you've got fulfillment, pick, pack, ship, kind of all these kind of, we would call them nickel and dime. And then Your last one would be the shipping itself, which you're already paying if you're doing this from home. Now you're just transferring it over to them, where they're paying the postal service and then billing you for that. Then you pay them for the postal service. So, you know, overhead, your nickel and dime kind of things, and then your shipping would be kind of your core kind of main three. If you're talking to someone, you're probably looking at those kind of categories.
Okay.
Ours is a little unique.
Right. I was going to say, I think you do it different. I didn't mean to cut
ours
off.
Is unique. No, I thought you might go there. So ours is a little unique, and I'm proud of it. So I kind of set that. I didn't try to be too mean to that version. I tried to be pretty straightforward. Like,
you are very kind and informative.
But we kind of look at it a little differently, and we go, and it's really tied to like how much of what we charge our clients can be tied to a sale on their end rather than overhead. So we try to limit that overhead category to either zero or as small as we can. And then on our fulfillment and our nickel and dime, we would put it all into one price. We would call it like an all-in fee.
Okay.
So then I'm going to charge you this much for a package that goes out the door. And it's going to include, you know, storage. It's going to include pick. It's going to include pack. All those other things are just going to be in that one. We know our numbers enough to know, you know what? It'll all shake out in the wash. You know, if you have an order that has 7 items, you got the better of me on that one. But if you have an order that has 1 item, I got the better of you on that one. And guess what? It's all good because we're working this together and it's tied to a sale for you. That's the part that we think is unique, is if you're running this and you outsource it and you're not moving very much product and there's a high overhead, then if you have a low month and you don't sell anything, you still have to pay that high overhead.
Right.
And kind of our model, we kind of go with more of a low overhead model where now it's tied to a sale. Oh, I'm paying them for every package they ship, not just for sitting there holding my stuff. And so that would be our kind of unique side of, we're going to try to shift it more to a variable cost for you than a fixed cost or an overhead cost.
That's amazing. It adds a lot of clarity for myself and everyone listening, but also I think the fact that you are considering your customers' needs first in how you're structuring your pricing is incredible, because obviously most of us come at this from our own viewpoint of what do I need to keep my business running and growing and scaling, but you're very much building in that people first mentality too.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. You know, are there certain e-commerce platforms that you guys integrate with, or in general that 3PLs integrate with, or do business owners need to manually send orders to your team?
Yes. If it's not automatic, then I don't know what 3PL you're using. So I would recommend.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Like, if you're having to send manual orders in. Now, it depends on what platform you're using. Shopify is by far the easiest. Everywhere we look, Shopify seems to win from a user standpoint on the you know, your end, you know, with you guys producing stuff and wanting to sell stuff. Like, for your listener, like, Shopify has so much that makes it so easy. You can build it. It can look good. They have the checkout process. They have sales tax that's built in. They have shipping chart. I mean, they just have the whole package. And it integrates really easily into, I mean, all the shipping softwares we use. It's a plug and play. It's like log in with an admin login and boom, you're connected. You know, coming down a notch, you know, WooCommerce, which is, you know, a lot of times tied to WordPress sites, it's doable. You know, from what I know, WooCommerce has good WordPress. You have these updates you have to do. And if you do an update, sometimes this update breaks that update. And you have to go back and fix this. So you have a few more ins and outs. A lot of those things you need for shipping, you know, carrier calculated shipping or sales tax, you know, for this or that. You have to go get different plugins for all those things in the WordPress side. So it's doable. It just is, you got to have somebody that knows what they're doing on that end. You know, Squarespace is trying to grow in their e-commerce and they're getting better and better at that kind of all-in package like Shopify has.
Yeah.
And then you start, for us, we start seeing less and less of some of the other ones. You know, I can kind of rattle them off, but, you know, the number one is Shopify by far. The interesting one is marketplaces. And I don't know how much you guys
like Facebook marketplaces?
More of like your Amazon marketplace,
Walmart
marketplace, Etsy. Where you're selling and maybe you're wanting to do the fulfillment yourself instead of doing like Fulfilled by Amazon.
Yeah.
Well, you could sell on Amazon and fulfill through your 3PL. And so that's another integration that you're talking about is your 3PL integrate to your marketplace store as well. So it's not just your direct-to-consumer e-commerce store. It's also, can they integrate with your marketplace as well? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally makes sense. And I feel like now you've got me thinking about, like, that's a great question that people need to be asking when they're interviewing 3PLs or considering outsourcing fulfillment. What are some other questions that people should be asking that we might not readily think of?
No, I mean, your overhead would be a big one. You want to understand your monthly overhead costs against your variable costs, because somebody may be taking advantage of you over here if you're not moving enough volume. So really important to understand that. You would want to vet their accuracy, both on their like picking accuracy, which is, you know, did they put the wrong item in the wrong box and ship it to the wrong person? So that's like a pick accuracy. And then you also have an inventory accuracy. Hey, I want to make sure that when your system says, you know, I have 400, do I really have 400? So I would put accuracy in there. And then the other two I would go with, and they're kind of connected, would be around any back-end access. And what I mean by that would be like a portal to see what they're doing. So some people will have like, oh, I can log in. Like we have a software, a client of ours can log in and see all of their orders. Have they been shipped yet? Where's the tracking number for it? I need to adjust an order. I need to cancel an order. They can come in and do all that work on the back end. They can check their inventory. But some of them don't have that, and that's okay. We didn't have it at first. And so, but that's something that you would want to ask. You go, hey, what is, when I have questions, when I need to get access to this, where do I go? And that would kind of tie to like customer service. Yeah. You know, do you have, is it an 800 number and you're just kind of calling to get whoever answers? Or do I have
a dedicated person,
a dedicated account manager? And I know this person by name and I call them and, you know, they help me when I have questions. So those are things I would want to know that are unique and different. And there's goods and bads. You're going to see some of the monster fulfillment centers. You're going to get an 800 number and it's a customer service person, but they also are massive and they've got warehouses all across the country and they're doing, you know, all this and that and the other. And there's some beautiful things to that. Then you have some that are going to be personal and local and you're like, oh, I can drive over and do, I can count my inventory myself. And there's value to that. So you're trying to kind of balance some of these different pieces that are important to you.
I'm so glad you brought that up because everyone's needs are going to be slightly different, right? Like to me, hearing that piece of, I want an account manager, like that would be very important to me. I'd want to have one person I knew I could talk to, but for somebody else, that might not be a deal breaker for them, you know? And the locality too, I think that's something certain people want to know that their products are nearby and others are like, as long as they're getting out to my customers, I'm okay with where
they
are.
And that's part of the trust thing you mentioned earlier. Like the local one, we kind of laugh at our local clients because they do, they want to be handheld a little more. And we're kind of like, it's okay. We got it. Like we're here. But our clients from across the country, they don't, they're like, okay, great. Like you guys got this. So it's almost part of the local person. I think they're like, oh, I want a local fulfillment center so that I can go buy. And it's like, no, you need to be ready to trust it. It's like sending your kid off to school. Like, right? Like, you know what? I dropped off my son today and he was like lost on his way to the door. You could tell he was like, where am I going? And I was literally like, do I get out of the car? Do I go? And I'm like, no.
No,
he just needs to like march over and like get his way in. Similar with this. When you outsource this, when you go, hey, I'm gonna trust, we're putting this in somebody's hands and they're gonna handle it. You gotta kinda let your baby go. So
no, I love that. This kind of leads me to thinking about what misconceptions do people have about working with 3PLs? Do you ever like come across crazy things that they think aren't real or?
Yes. you've got people that think the probably the funniest one for us is like people that think shipping's just free. Like Amazon has skewed all of us and they're like, how can you not get that package to my customer in 2 days for free? And I'm like, have you understand this fully? Like, like there's a call, like UPS is going to charge me 2 day shipping to keep up with Amazon. And that's the hard thing. I mean, Amazon's kind of ruined us all because everybody expects 2 days and free. And that's really expensive as an individual person, right? You're running your own customer. That's, you know, that's a really hard thing to do. So we get people that are like, oh, so I just pay the fulfillment fee and that's it. And I'm like, no, there's a whole shipping piece over here that's there. So that's definitely some of the crazy stuff we get.
Well, and they would be paying that themselves too if they were sending it. And probably you get a better rate than they do because of the volume of shipping you do.
There we go. Yes, you got it. Exactly. So that's always the crazy one. I'm like, am I really going to walk you through this? So.
I know. That's funny. You know, it just crossed my mind. We have a lot of people that are starting to get into the subscription-based model for their products, whether it's like a box that ships out once a month or, you know, mm-hmm. some sort of, we have a lot of people that are doing card clubs, for example, you know, with their greeting yep. cards and things. Do you work with a lot of companies that do those kind of once a month shipments in yep. bulk?
Yeah, we've done both. So we have a whole, you know, system that we do for things like that that all yeah. launch at one time. And so there's a few different ways we can do that. We can prep that ahead of time. If we have all the information or all the items, that's actually yeah. amazing. Hey, we'll get them prepped and ready. We can even pre-label them. Hey, I don't want them to ship out until the second of the month. Great. Well, we'll get them labeled, sitting in a, you know, in a box yeah. ready. And as soon as the, you know, the second comes, the carriers pick them up and take it.
That's cool.
So that's one way we do it. Or if things are coming in fast and furious, we'll like, you know, have our assembly team, they're all lined up and they march through them, you know, kind of one by one. So it's definitely doable. We do both, you know, that's both cool. things like that.
That's good. I think, you know, that's an area too, where the scalability is super important to have that partner in that fulfillment role. Okay. Well, what's new and upcoming for you guys at Givingtons? What are you working on? What do you have planned for the rest of the year?
Well, thanks for asking. Because it's really fun. I'm really excited. So we kind of built our business first in the fulfillment world. So we said, we're going to partner with these amazing brands that are changing the world with great product. And we're going to start on the fulfillment side. And then what we're basically doing is saying, how else can we serve that type of person? You know, I think there's some fulfillment companies that they want to be as big as they can in the fulfillment space. Hey, let's have as many warehouses and forklifts and, you know, whatever. We would say, instead of wanting to be the biggest fulfillment company, we would want to look at like, how do we serve direct to consumer brands in every way they need it? So what we're mm-hmm. developing is, what else do you need help with? Do you need help on the creative side? Do you need a website built? Do you want to make a video? Do you need what are the other things you need? Oh, you need product help. You need, you know, you've got your product designed and developed, but you don't know where to source it. Or, oh, what if I could do, you know, X, Y, and Z? I want to run digital ads. I want to run social ads. Where can I go for that? So what we want to do is basically create that a support structure for a direct-to-consumer brand across the whole thing. So instead of deep and just fulfillment, we want to go, hey, we can help you across that whole continuum. So that's what we're moving towards and really excited to kind of to roll out. I mean, literally today in meetings with that team, kind of getting that set. So we're really, really excited.
I love hearing this because I think, one, those are all areas that people struggle as they're continuing to grow and scale their business. You know, they're not sure where to invest in marketing or what type of marketing to do, yep. or, you know, even the video side, people are nervous about that. Like, I think it's great that you're offering this more of a one-stop shop for your customers. That's incredible.
Yep. Well, and our nature at our core is relational. It's true as a mission for us with our team. Like if you come in and meet our team, like we care about everybody on our team. And then you go, well, we'll sit in, you know, we'll go to New York and work with, you know, traditional publishers and we're going 19 floors up in New York City and sitting with them. And then we have our UPS guy that picks up our mail. And for us, every relationship matters. Yes. And so even with our client, we look at that and go, we've got trust with you. You enjoy us. We've built a relationship with you. How else can we help you? You know, instead of it's a one-stop shop, but it's one-stop shop of somebody you enjoy and somebody you trust and somebody that you appreciate. And you go, wow, I know they're going to have my back. And so that's what we're kind of like, we're saying relationships across the board is so important. And how else can we serve you?
Yeah. I love this. I often talk about relationships and just how important they are. But like to find people that will dive into your business in the same way that you would put your heart and soul into it, it's difficult to find sometimes, absolutely. You know, that's whether that's a contractor or an employee or some, you know, an outside agency of some sort or outsourcing yep. partner. So to hear you talking about, you know, yep. we want to help elevate across all facets of the sales process and marketing process too.
And what's unique in that for us is it's a win-win-win. It kind of is, it works for everybody because yeah. if we're helping on the marketing and design side, which means you sell more product, which means I ship more product. Like
yeah.
that works for everybody. Like we're all working towards the same goal. That's why we do our pricing the way we do. I explained mm-hmm. it earlier
yeah.
because we're tying our revenue to the success of your sales. If I do overhead, then I don't care if you sell or not. I don't, whatever, right? I'm getting my overhead costs. Mm-hmm. But when I tie an all-in fee to your sales, we're now aligned. We've aligned the interests of our clients and our success. So yeah. we need you to sell so that we win. So now we're going to help you sell more because we win here. And like we all, it just aligns everybody in the same direction.
Oh, yeah.
Rather than you just pay me to do a service, you pay me an overhead, you know, do whatever. So we try to put it where we're all kind of working together for the same goal.
It's much more of a partnership than it is just I'm taking this piece of my business and giving it to somebody else.
That's exactly right.
That's awesome. Well, you know, where can people learn more about Givingtons and the services that you offer? Sure. And if they want to inquire about, you know, fulfillment or other things you're sharing with us today?
No, absolutely. I mean, you can, our website's the easiest one, and it's Givingtons is probably the best way to spell it. Giving, GivingTons.com. And there's forms you can fill out. You can see our basics. And we are, again, our site is relational on purpose. You see us, you're going to know who we are, but then we want to talk to you. So it's like, reach out. Like you're going to, it doesn't give you all the details. We don't have all our pricing because we want to talk to you and get to know you. So you can go there and reach out to us through that.
That's awesome. We will include all that in the show notes too, so people can easily find you. But Alan, thank you for your time today and just sharing the perspective from the fulfillment centers. Yep. I mean, we've heard bits and pieces from our makers in the community that are doing things and outsourcing this piece. But I think being able to hear it directly from you, I know you're just one company amongst a sea of many, and you do have a very different business model and how you approach, but that's why I really wanted to bring you on, because the way you treat your customers is very much how I treat mine. And I think that's a very important piece of building these businesses. So thank you for your time.
Very honored and really, really enjoyed it. So thank you so much.
Thank you. So much great info in this episode with Alan Befford. I love how Givingtons team is going outside the norm and how they set their pricing structure and really how they're making customer happiness the focus of what they're doing. I think that you guys have heard me on this podcast multiple times say strong businesses are built through relationships. And really, that's one of my main goals here at Proof to Product. It's to teach you how to smartly scale your business. And we do that through our engaged community. We do that through our coaching that I offer and the guest experts that we bring in, and also providing just an open space for other makers and yourself to collaborate and have ongoing discussions. So whether you are a new business or a seasoned company, I really do want to encourage you to join us in Proof to Product Labs. You can get more information at prooftoproduct.com/lab. And if any of you are interested in learning more about 3PL or talking to Alan about whether or not your business is at a point where you should be outsourcing fulfillment, definitely check the show notes, because we have all of Alan's information there. All right, guys, have a great week. I'll talk to you soon.